Hello everybody, I'm Chris.
I'm Craig.
I'm known as Jack.
That's not all you're known as, pal.
That was a wee pause you did there. Was that dramatic?
I kept forgetting who says what when.
Right. So long since we did this. Can you guess, everybody, what we're watching? Listen!
Is it Attack of the Cybermen?
Yes, no, it's the fiendish plot of Dr. Fu Manchu, which also starts with that music.
It does, yeah. Quite a lot of films back then used it.
They have that music in Attack of the Cybermen, and Colin Baker actually plays it.
Do you know what it is?
Do you know when the TARDIS changes into the organ? He plays it on that.
Do you know what it is?
It's
Toccata and Fugue in D minor by Bach.
And that, this version is played by Mrs. Mills.
Really?
Yeah.
It was also a hit in the 70s for the band Sky. Super groups are much in our mind at the moment because of the recent death of Tom Petty.
Is he actually dead then?
Yeah, he is dead, yeah. Well, as we speak, he is.
Are any of the Wilburys still travelling then?
There are two Wilburys. I'm not sure they're doing much travelling these days.
Dawn Henley, she's still around?
Is this going to be the curse of Kringle Pills again?
My friend Daniel McGackie, who is a great man, referred to him as Schrodinger's Wilbury, which is always good.
So he's a good guy, isn't he?
Daniel McGackie is a great guy, actually.
He's a good guy. A great guy?
He is just a great guy. He's a writer. He writes comics. He writes books. He's a handsome devil. He's from he's from Cumbernauld, but he lives in Dundee.
But have we said the name of the film yet, by the way? It's Tales from the Crypt.
Tales from the Crypt.
Okay. Oh, so is this another EC Comics type of?
Yes, although thing. Two of the stories in this actually are from EC Comics.
Oh, okay, right.
But what it is more than anything else is an Amicus film.
Mm.
Lovely,
and that is a good thing.
A very good thing. We sort of went through EC Comics, didn't we? What film was it?
It was another Portmanteau one.
Show.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
And this, of course, has been shot by Freddie Francis.
Directed by Freddie Francis,
sorry, a man who knows how to shoot a film.
Yeah, lovely, lovely white screen business here.
Nice colours.
But Eastman colour. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, something very, very British 70s cinema about the way it looks.
Yeah.
Oh, Milton Sortsky.
There's a lot to talk about. This is the recent Blu-ray. I can't remember which company brought it out, but it's really good. It's well worth a look at. The Blu-ray print is beautiful.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So is there a connecting narrative thread between the stories?
Yeah. That's the catacombs.
And it's going to be, and that's what it is it?
And
the
catacombs. They're owned by the patacombs.
Well, interestingly, I mean, the narrative...
Boom! We're back!
In this one, it's a very simple one, really, which is just five people. Right. They all are, really.
Was that one of our pre-scripted lines?
Mm. No. Yeah. Uh-huh. But the great thing is you've got two absolute epic gentlemen of...
Yep,
film and television coming up here. The cast
is
amazing.
Jeffrey Belden there.
Jeffrey Belden's the first man on screen.
That's Richard Green,
and he is the only person that Jeffrey Belden could possibly be junior to as the crypt keeper is Christopher.
As Sir Richard Alfredson.
Wow,
exactly.
Jeffrey Belden's a dead man now, isn't he? That was quite recently, didn't he?
Yeah. Very recently,
Did you see that fake Twitter account that someone set up to be Jeffrey Belden? It's quite nice.
Yeah, I
kind of wanted it to be him. He was very polite.
We had hoped to do a double bill tonight with the Medusa Touch, which we'll come back to at some point. But I was doing a little bit of looking through the Medusa Touch today, which was one of the greatest films ever made. I realised that only about three people from the cast now are still alive.
Wow.
Derek Jacobi.
Mm-hmm.
Marianne Bilibar.
He plays a very fake publisher.
Can I just say, at the time of this record?
At the time of this recording.
Okay.
Is it Marie, the French actress, is badly dubbed into English as his ex-wife in it.
And it's dubbed in English by Arthur Mulland.
No, but her manly boyfriend is played by...
Oh, I can't remember.
Jeremy Brett.
Wait, is that John Collins? Right, yeah.
It is. This is good. Yeah, back to here.
Yeah, back to the action.
They're in the crypt.
There's the dreadful Ian Hendry.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
Oh, he's dreadful.
He was a terrible man. He was a drinker and quite an aggressive fellow.
Was he?
I think we went into that extensively during the Omen 2 commentary last time.
All right, okay.
I defer you to our previous commentary.
Yeah, and we pointed you out, if you ever want to see the state he was in, it's quite depressing, not long before he died. I think Patrick McNeese, This Is Your Life, is on YouTube, and he comes in at one point, and he's horrible. He died of some sort of terrible stomach cancer, but through drink, really. His stomach is incredibly sort of distended, and he's basically talks gibberish.
Really?
Yeah, it's terrible.
His own This Is Your Life used to be on YouTube, I don't know if it still is, which he comes across as not a particularly pleasant man. But
they're struggling to get anyone on. It's quite an empty sort of row of seats.
Oh, no, just, Mr. Andrews, a lovely fella.
Yeah. Just doing a bench in the street.
Did they bring on, like, people who'd watched him on telly?
No.
I remember watching Get Carter. I liked you when you went to Coronation Street.
But the he's suffering from the incredibly 70s ailment of red flu.
Oh, right, yeah.
What's red flu?
I don't know.
So where's Joan Collins in her career at this point? Because she's had quite a checkered career, hasn't she?
She was in a slump at this stage.
Yeah.
She looks great in it.
Yeah, she looks amazing.
Was it Dynasty was the thing that sort of turned around in the end, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
but that came off the back of The Bitch and the Stud.
Right.
Which is about 3 or 4 years after this, so there's still a while to go.
There's that documentary about how she got that part.
Because her sister...
No, it's like when she answers the phone and goes... Aaron Spelling, who? Dynasty. Oh, well, I'll give it a go.
Because wasn't it,
what's it called?
Goodbye, Transano.
What's the
Lucky Bitches.
Is that on YouTube?
It has men, it has women, it has sex, so it has glamour.
Can anybody here.
Lucky Bitches.
Can anybody here do the full Alexa surname?
So it's Alexa, Colby,
yeah, Dexter,
Bouvier.
I always think it's Dexter Fletcher. But there's a morale in there as well, isn't
there? Bouvier to Willigo.
No, it's not. It's Alexis Carrington, Colby, Dexter, Morale. And then there's another one, I think.
I don't know. Our mate Alan needs to be here for this.
Yeah.
I did actually ask him to come and join us for this, but he said his partner was rotten. Which is patently not the case.
That's what it makes me laugh a lot.
Especially considering the shit we've already done.
Absolutely. Do we like Dynasty?
Because then if you took part, you all
would
be. Yeah,
actually, there is
going to
be a
bitches.
Dynasty night at my house, including my wife and her increasingly ridiculously named girls.
I love Dynasty.
Because sadly, her mother passed away this year and she's left her Dynasty DVD collection.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I love Dynasty.
Oh, wow.
Who's your favourite character?
Do you both want in on that? Can we talk about details from the clip now?
In a minute.
Yeah, we'll get
who's
to
it. Who's your favourite character in Dynasty?
In Dynasty?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, well, I mean, clearly it has to be
Alexis. I like Dex.
Yeah, Dexter.
Yeah, he was cool, wasn't he?
He was great. I like the guy who was in charge of all the soldiers that massacred them in fucking Moravia or whatever it was.
Yes, Michael Praed. Right. Michael Praed got killed.
Don't you remember that? I remember Stephanie Beecham talking about when she was in the Colbys, and she genuinely thought it was written into his contract for Chuck Heston that she had to stand up in front of him naked at some point during the back to the screen. But showing her Charlie's off to Charlton Heston.
Remember, it was Dynasty 2, the Colbys.
It was,
right,
yeah, you're right, yeah.
No,
right, sorry, so we're into the first story. All through the house.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's Christmassy.
Glasses on for this.
Chris, there's a very good reason why you're excited about this. Tell us.
The house is just beautiful. Everything about it, I mean, it's just lovely. Mm. It must be a cunt keeping that fireplace clean. Yeah.
Well, as we're about to see, though.
Yeah.
There's a great cleaner involved.
Yeah, well, what if
this
nothing
is a great
else,
shot, though.
Yeah. If nothing else, what this demonstrates is Joanie's incredible housekeeping skills.
Those are very weird.
Nice
those
big telly.
Stuffed toys,
yeah, but there's
they?
A wee lassie in the house.
Okay.
That's telling you. Signpost and visual storytelling.
It's not that weird. It's quite a hauntological.
Rubber plant, because it's the 70s.
Do you know how old Joan Collins is now?
I'm going to say she's 82.
No.
She's 85.
Really?
Wow.
See that guy there?
Yeah.
He's 23. It's the 70s, folks. Now, well, here's
this single shot, because it's marvellous.
Here's the thing, right? This is the one thing I like the fact that it's ambiguous, is that does she kill him, spoilers, because she's a bitch or he's a dick?
Yeah, it's interesting that.
You don't actually know why, because he seems like a nice guy, but of course you never know.
No, he could be an utter bastard.
He could be a real prick.
We're putting this out for Halloween, but this, of course, could begin the film
absolutely.
As a Christmas film.
Mm.
It's full of beautiful.
Oh, it's lovely.
Oh, I like that.
Hymns, Christmas carols.
Beautiful.
I like his wee cheroot going there. But the fact that he's got that hat on suggests to me he's a good guy.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
you know,
he's a good guy. Look at that.
It's really interesting ornaments.
Yeah, watch how this plays
beautiful.
Off.
Beautiful.
Yeah, this is very,
this is
lovely. Yeah.
Do you know this film, Jack?
No, I've never seen this.
Oh,
film.
This is great.
You've never seen this?
I've never seen films.
Oh, keep watching. Keep
watch how this pays out.
Okay,
this is lovely.
Here we are.
And Burley Observer.
Burley.
Don't be dirty.
Don't be dirty.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
He's trying to be clean.
And.
Dirty.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So his head's just been spattered across that newspaper through some means.
Big fucking lumpy poster paint. Now, apparently, this gave them terrible difficulties, of course, because it being an Amicus film, it was quite a low budget, so the rug was an issue.
What year was this made then?
1972.
Okay.
Some context.
Context.
Of the few of us, I'm probably the real horror fan, and particularly old school horror.
Absolutely.
You're the proper horror fan.
I am, yeah.
In the same way that you're not the proper Doctor Who fan.
My favourite horror film of all time is the original Portmanteau film, really, Dead of Night.
Dead of Night, yeah.
I love my black and white horror films. I love my Hammer films. But I would say, if push came to shove, I have a place in my heart, a greater place in my heart for the Amicus films than I do the Hammer.
So why is that?
I think absolutely, and Phil Norman, what a lovely chap. Yeah. He would agree with you on that.
Yeah.
He's written extensively about
Amicus. So why is Amicus better than Hammer?
I would say Amicus are the only horror film type that I actively like. Hammer, I can kind of take or leave. I like the good ones, but the bad ones I'm not that bothered about. But everything, pretty much all the Amicus films I love, even down to, I'm going to embarrass myself now. Asylum, is that an Amicus film?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Asylum's not great, but I still like, the bits in that are good are great.
Yeah.
But I still like it, because it's got that nice Amicus feel to it.
So what is the Amicus feel?
Well, I mean, they made films that weren't portmanteaus, but tonight we're talking about the portmanteaus.
Mm-hmm.
They made 7 portmanteau films between about 65 and 74.
Okay.
75, maybe.
Uh-huh.
They are Dr. Terror's House of Horrors.
Yep.
Torture Garden.
Uh-huh.
Asylum. The House That Dripped Blood. They might be the other way around.
Uh-huh.
Tales from the Crypt, Vault of Horror, and From Beyond the Grave.
Mm. Okay.
Did we watch From Beyond the Grave? Did we do that one?
No.
We've talked about it. We'll do it another time, because it's great.
Right.
Put them in order of what the greatest. I think this and From Beyond the Grave are best, and then below it,
From
Vault
Beyond
of Horror. Yeah,
but what you're not telling me is
the
it is.
Look at the size of that fucking lighter.
I know.
That's a great.
What is it I love about them?
Yeah,
this 95 minutes, you're going to get 5 stories.
Right.
Yeah.
I love the fact they look very much of their time. I remember seeing them on ITV late at night in the late 70s, early 80s, and loving them.
Uh-huh.
They've got a lot of glamour about them. Some of them are quite grim, but they've got a lot of glamour about them.
Yeah.
And they just tell nasty wee stories really quickly and well. And, you know,
and they're quite
sordid. Yeah. And they're quite good TV cream films, because they're full.
Oh, absolutely. Jam,
I mean, this is jam-packed full of...
I mean, even lighting your fag with a taper from the fire.
So what's the key difference between an Amicus film and a Hammer film?
Hammers generally are sort of period horrors.
Mm.
Right.
You know, they did the sort of, I mean, they did other things like Quatermass and whatnot, and they did lots of other different things.
Yeah.
But the kind of main one. I suppose lots of different other Amicus things to talk about as well.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, those main, if you were talking about watching a Hammer horror film, you'd be talking about a Frankenstein, a Dracula, or a werewolf.
That's,
a
lovely radio, isn't it?
Or Plague of the Zombies.
Yes,
a great movie.
Uh-huh.
It is lovely, isn't it?
That's weird, though. The floorboards are a bit weird.
Well, they look unvarnished.
I wouldn't have thought, it's almost like, I mean, I'm guessing that they actually had to lift the carpet when they filmed, so they didn't fuck up whoever's house that is.
It's probably like a lodge house on the Shepperton Estate.
Yeah.
So are the nature of their horror supernatural, though?
Very much so.
Well, you mentioned Dead of Night. I didn't realise until recently, the house in Dead of Night was Johnny Mills' house in Denham, wasn't it? No, the interiors. Interiors.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure I read that somewhere. Right. But the only reason is because I noticed again, I read a thing recently, that Miss Marple's house, Margaret Rutherford's house in Murder Ahoy and whatever, I think you only see inside her house a few of them, it was also Johnny Mills' house in the Denham estate.
Here he comes.
Crazy Santa.
Can I put
one of the great things about Dead of Night is, although it was made in 1945, one of the cameramen was Douglas Slocum.
Oh, fuck.
That's how far back he went.
He's still working.
Can I put forward a hypothesis about Joan Collins?
Please do.
Go on.
Is that she is the female Roger Moore.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Discuss.
I see what you're saying. Although she doesn't go quite that far back. Not quite. But I hat tip to oh, look at that phone, fucking alabaster fag box.
I have to say, I the risk of, as you know, I'm a very strong feminist, but Joan does look bloody hot in this film.
Oh yeah. I think you're allowed to see that.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, she looks great. You know, she was a sex symbol.
Did you ever have a lamp? Not like that, but like the.
Look at that! You dial it underneath.
Look at that phone.
You know, like you got those lamps where it was like a big fucking spindle and it had bits sticking
off. Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. I stuck my finger in the socket of that when I was a kid.
How did that work out for you?
It was fine, fine. I've only just recovered.
Is that why you?
Oh,
went
that's
bit,
creepy.
You know?
So Santa, yeah, you went in the window.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The video has told you that there's an escaped lunatic.
Yeah,
okay. Oh, I see.
And he's believed to be dressed as Father Christmas.
Now, I want you to get a good look at him and tell me if you recognise him, because this is the great.
Is
the great bomb I'm going to drop on you tonight.
Oh, that really?
You'd be really pleased about.
Because I've tried to identify him a couple of times, and I've thought I've seen him in a couple of things. But I don't think it's the same. I don't think I've ever been right. Oof. Oh, everything about this fucking
yeah,
house is awesome.
You've really got the horn for the house.
It's just
you?
Amazing.
It's
the only
house.
Other house in any of these is the same
house.
as Terry Thomas's house in
Vault of Horror. Yeah.
Which I love, which is sitting in the big club, you know, like it's the Athenaeum or something at the start, and he says, you know, I've got my fortune, a beautiful house, and you imagine it's going to be this great Victorian villa. Mm. And it's like it's basically just a big suburban bungalow.
Ah, yeah, it's weird, yeah.
Yeah,
it doesn't fit at all. And he likes tinned ravioli.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Fucking mad for the tinned ravioli. Well, I quite like tinned ravioli.
Well,
as well.
I like tinned ravioli.
So
as
was
well.
this filmed in?
Do you do that though?
What?
I can imagine actually quite a lot of the stuff that Terry Thomas does that in that segment. You do.
Because I'm a bit OCD.
Fucking writing up what tins you've missed.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I'm in my house. In my house, I'm outnumbered by a couple of untidy bastards. So yeah, I would love it to have it my own way. I mean, I'm a person who only writes in a wee book with
lines
squares
and
on
lines
it.
And lines
now
lines
we need
lines
to.
Lines
can
lines
we do a shout out? There was a gentleman on Twitter. I think Craig. It'd be great.
I'm very concerned.
There is at least one gentleman
called
on Twitter.
Cobbler's Fan in Peace. We're hoping that's not like a Pepe the Frog thing, that it means something that we don't know. Pepe the Frog, this happened to my son. He's a sort of symbol of the alt-right in America.
Is he? Mm.
But my son thought he was sort of comedy frog and had him on his laptop. Uh-huh. He's had him on his iPad. I should take him off.
John's skipping up all the pantone there.
Okay. Yeah, see, this
anyway,
is a wee bit like, it's proper Kensington Gore, isn't it? It's a wee bit like poster paint.
So why are we doing a shout-out to this dude?
Because he recently tweeted us to say that he had listened to all the podcasts.
Wow.
So thank you very much, Cobblers.
Right, here's Johnny's,
well done,
you, Cobblers, yeah.
Here's Johnny's skills start kicking in.
Well.
So she has
look
to
how quickly she got that
clean. Just to clean the glass. There you are, get stuck in, hen.
Now that's a tricky stain.
Yep.
That is quite
a
tricky stain.
And she
it
gets
really doesn't
that,
look like blood, does it? It doesn't look like
no.
blood.
I think that's a very unfair thing
that's
to say.
That's under the file. And then
she puts
no,
her
no.
hand right in there, doesn't she?
Clean the then I've got to clean this
thing.
That house is immaculate because of her.
I'll tell you who the heir to her is. Those kids in the new film It, they fucking clean that bathroom up.
They do.
Like a good one, don't they?
That's a weird scene.
Yeah,
it's
did you tell me you
club
thought it was
montage.
Like a bit, yeah, it is an odd
well,
scene.
Well, actually, they're cleaning up gore and
oh, so have you two been to see it?
Yeah.
Oh, when was this?
Well, I didn't go with you.
Right. We asked
you. When was that?
I went by myself, actually.
All right.
Anyway, back to
thanks,
the house.
Guys.
Kutch invited me.
I asked you all.
Did you?
No, I've not got a problem with that. Couldn't you go that night?
No, I'm saying it happened.
I've got a real problem with it.
Anyway, big fucking stack of presents there and everything.
It is a great house.
Look at
it?
The bar
it's
as
beautiful
well.
House.
Oh, just lovely.
You wouldn't put the radio that close to the fire. Oh, actually, it's not that close, is it? That's
no.
the perspective.
See, that's what we call far away.
That's why that's why Freddie Francis was better than this shit than you.
It's an awesome firehood, isn't it?
Mm.
Anyway,
Freddie Francis, of course, directed many of these films and Hammer films, and he was also cinematographer on The Innocents, which is one of the great, which he regarded as probably the best one he worked on.
Now, I should like to interject at the moment and say, you mentioned how Hammer are mostly period horror films, and I wonder if that's probably why, now I think about it, why I prefer Amicus, because I don't find period things scary. What I do find scary or disturbing, which is what scares me, are the mundane.
Yeah.
Within the mundane.
The
haunted
logical.
It's
almost
a tribute to Stephen King to discovering, and it was done
elsewhere.
Oh, no,
it's done
elsewhere.
Yeah,
of course,
well, I mean, apart from anything else, Mary Shelley did it.
Yeah, and Emma James did it. So she's let him in. She's let Santa in. Now we have to come to the big reveal.
Aye. Okay. It's Val Dunican.
Hang on, let's have a look.
You're having to look it up.
I don't know who it is.
His name is, and he's still alive, and he hates it, Oliver McGreevy.
It's not the guy that was in Funny Bones, is it?
No. I thought you nearly got it there. His other big credit is as Clitus Observer Number 2.
Wow.
He's the guy who's...
Oh,
things ripped off his face in Flash Gordon.
Wow. Oh. How,
isn't that cool?
How did you check that out?
Because I just looked him up today because I thought, I don't know who that guy is, and it's always slightly bothered me. So they're all hearing these stories, which they are being told are possibly in the future.
Oh, really?
But they're a bit confused. So here we go. We've got Ralph Richardson. Just look how nicely lit it all is. I mean, Freddie knew what he was doing, didn't he? I mean, I guess if he was directing, he probably had a fairly fucking big hand in the lighting as well.
I would have thought so.
I imagine who
I
shot
can't
it.
Can't imagine people who shot it would have said, Freddie, we'll do this. Off you go, son.
Would have said, you're the boss.
Can I just check?
Is that the same floor?
Yeah.
Does that the same floor?
Actually, the layout looks...
It's very similar.
It's the same.
I've never noticed that before.
Yeah. No, I just noticed that there. Yeah. it's the same staircase.
The door through and everything.
Do we know... Do you?
It is exactly the same room, but without the fire hood and
so
the
so it almost be a set that they've just dressed nicely.
Yeah.
Do you know who did the music to the Henry Kelly Game Show Going for Gold? I think this is quite...
Hans Zimmer. Cool.
Thank you, yeah. Did you know this? There you are. It's good, isn't it? Select.
He was also in Buggles.
Do you know who
he
did,
was, isn't it? Yeah, and he produced a song by the Damned as well.
Do you know who did the music
and
for...
And from England we have Christopher Nolan here. Yeah. What are you doing there, Christopher?
Do you know who did the music, Chris
you know who did the music for Every Second Counts?
Every...
Philip Glass. It just...
Every
he's developed since
counts.
Then.
Yeah. Cunt though he was. Excuse my language. Not Philip Glass. Ian Hendry, he's actually really good in this. We're in the second story now.
Ian Hendry,
but see these scenes, he's a kind of, he's a guy who's leaving his wife and kids. It's pretty bleak beginning to it, but it's also cutting him up. He's not like a heartless bastard. It's,
no, he won't need to go.
It's tearing him apart, which makes the story better.
Yeah,
because he's not just a prime shit who gets what's coming to him. You know,
that's great.
Yeah, not like Richard Green later on.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what is the story of Amicus then?
Great. I mean, I love them. I've sent a few photographs.
Tell us about Amicus.
The beautiful collection that was brought out by, was it Anchor Bay over there a few years ago? And no, that's in front of you.
Oh yeah, okay. Oh,
sorry. And this wonderful book.
Yeah.
The studio that dripped blood.
Who's made this? Oh, it's a Dark Side. Do you read that magazine? Is that a good magazine?
Not really. No, it's
I don't like the
good.
Logo.
Actually, there's a lot of this isn't brilliantly done. This book, but I just brought it just in case we had any room trying to remember what story was in what.
So, tell us the story of Amicus.
Two people behind it: Max G. Rosenberg and the brilliantly named Milton Subotsky. Milton does certainly both good men, but Milton falls into our category of one of the great men.
He is a great man.
He was. He was a brilliant guy. He was a American, New York Jewish guy, GI in the war. Came to college. I don't think he even went to college. He went straight into. He started doing filmmaking for like the propaganda unit or something in the war. And then became quite a big writer in sort of 50s telly in America. And then came to Britain. And actually, apparently he used to be on Jukebox Jury or something. So he was kind of slightly famous
Hang on, what? He was a juror on Jukebox Jury?
Really? And then he started Amicus with Max G. Rosenberg. Max was the money man. It ran for about 15 or 16 years. Milton was a writer. And, you know, if you ever see photographs of his wife's a very distinguished psychiatrist. And historian of psychiatry, and you ever see them being interviewed in their house and whatnot, it's just full and full and full of a lot of it pulp, you know, horror story. He just constantly scanned for stories and whatnot and loved writing.
What do we think that rail
is? I don't know, it's weird, isn't it? It's like they've not finished the building.
I've always wondered that. Is
it's a really miserable looking
someone
flat.
Sort of high up?
Is this his
this is feature what he's wall. Into with his birds.
Okay, have we seen her yet?
She's pretty nice, yeah.
Okay. And
the windows are weird, they don't look like they belong in a flat.
No, it's weird, isn't it?
And so where did the two Doctor Who films fit in with
this? That was one of the first things they did in the early 60s. Not the greatest moments, really. I quite
like them. Nice music.
The second one's better.
Yeah, Dalek Invasion of 2012.
Oh, I love that.
Too Dark. It's a good film. Bernard Cribbins is good, isn't it?
The first of...
It's got one of the greatest lines in all of cinema. You can't go through Wolverhampton, it's full of Daleks.
So they did all that. I've written a few notes about them just to remind me of stuff. They're based at Shepperton. They also made some interesting films. They made The Birthday Party, the Harold Pinter film, which is actually directed by William Friedkin.
I'd laugh.
That's directed by William Friedkin.
Yeah. And they also made, over the course of the time, there's a couple of others that I thought were really interesting.
So hang on, so a
this
panelist,
is a night of surprising.
So hang on, so a panellist from Jukebox Jury. Made a film which is directed by William Friedkin.
Indeed.
While a young Hans Zimmer sat in his room and went,
we're going to watch this, what happens here.
Okay.
And we're playing catch up.
It's nicely circular, this as well.
Select. Hans, you're playing catch up.
You're playing catch up!
Select.
I've written something that I don't.
She's in something that I know.
I think her name's Janet James or something.
Why have you written down Father Lionel Fanthorpe in there?
I don't know why. Why would I have written that down?
I don't know.
Oh my god, what's she in? That's really going to
fucking I'm Father fun. Lionel Fanthorpe, and I'm in Craig Williams' Notebook.
Yeah, yeah, mother!
Were you just doing a Robert Hardy impression there, by
No, a Robert Hardy impression now is.
They eventually split up, and they also made in the 70s all the Edgar Rice Burroughs films, like the people at time forgot and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sort of split up. Milton went on to make a couple of. He had another go at doing portmanteaus, both of which I own.
And so was that the end of Amicus?
Really
clever,
split up, right, that's okay. A really talk about the film for a second. Uh-huh. It's just a really clever way to convey the crash.
Yeah,
just have the people jet backwards and forwards and things like that.
Why is it called Amicus?
Because they were friends. It's Latin for friendship.
Right. Friendship.
That's like Kilroy Silk's political party. Do you remember that? When he said he was going to do a political
party.
That's yes, and it was going to be, everything was going to be really transparent and straightforward. So someone says, oh, why have you given it a Latin name? Sorry, Craig.
Did he say, see you in the morning?
See you in the morning.
The two films he made after this, of course, were The Uncanny and The Monster Club, both of which were attempts at portmanteaus. Both of which
I love The Monster Club.
I love The Monster Club. I also quite like The Uncanny, which is one about cats being evil.
I like The Superfluous. Oh, I saw that the other week. That's got Peter Cushing in it.
Yeah, and Ray Milland.
Did you come? Yeah, it's good.
Sozzle-looking Ray Milland.
Did you come home and the cats were watching
it? Yeah,
yeah.
The cats, yeah. And, also, he later made, he died in 1996. Obviously, before
he died.
Sorry,
he died in
1996. Three late films. 96?
He must have been a good old age.
Cat's
then.
Eye. No, he wasn't. I was about
Cat's
70.
Eyes.
Oh, Cat's Eyes.
Yeah. Was that the Gentle Touch?
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Was that with Maggie Forbes?
Stephen King.
Stephen King, sorry. Oh, I love that.
No, not that one. The Lawnmower Man.
Did it? Well,
sometimes
they
come back.
Sorry, hang on a second. Oh, Milton Sobotsky
was
made
a producer
on
The Lawnmower Man.
That's a mixed bag.
Wow. He probably owns the rights. I've ever told you my Lawnmower Man story.
My mind's quite blown.
I was watching years ago with my good lady wife the programme 6 Feet Under.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And there was a bit in it when two of the characters were watching. They don't like his face look.
No.
The two characters were watching a film. Uh-huh. And my wife said, oh, what? And I said, oh, I kind of look at that. I said, what is it? And it was Silent Running.
Oh, God.
Which is a film that I find difficult to talk about without crying.
Yeah. All right. I was going to ask you why, but maybe I shouldn't.
My fucking hell!
Oh my god!
I love it.
Ugly cunt!
Anyway, go on.
And I said, it's a really moving film. It's a great film. I love it, Michelle. I love it still. Can't watch it. Makes me cry.
Mm.
So off she went, you know, thinking, oh, I know what to do here. Yeah. So a package arrives from Amazon.
Right.
Mm, no.
I open it up.
I'm pull it out.
And it's Lawnmower Man.
It's The Lawnmower Man. I went, all right, that's nice. And she went, it's the wrong film, isn't it? I said, what? Well, in all circumstances, yes.
That is
but,
so funny.
But in what context do you think it's the wrong film? She went, I wanted to get you that film that was in 6 Feet Under. That'd be Silent Running. That's the one, sorry. She bought me the Lawnmower Man.
And how did you get to this day.
Just screaming at his face.
But the thing is, from Lawnmower Man to Silent Running.
You don't even get Silent Running lawnmowers.
No. That's true.
That's true. Cover the quite noise of a Saturday morning if some cunt kicks it up.
Why does Sun Running make you cry?
Because I don't talk about it.
You're getting crying. Chris, why does it make him cry?
No, honestly.
He's the same.
I'm not much better, and neither is Phil Norman's the same.
No, it's just too moving.
Mm.
It's the wee guys out.
No.
Mark Bird loves that film.
He's not always wrong. Even a stopped clock tells the correct time twice a day, my friend.
Yeah, you like that.
Another nice thing about them about Amicus was that when they were based at Shepperton, and I was watching a documentary by a queer hawk, a strange fellow, but actually we'll just let it to this one because this is beautifully done.
Mm.
Is she called Susan Boyle?
No, Susan Blake.
Oh, that would have been good.
It would have been great, yeah. And that's just one side of me.
Oh, yeah. Now look.
Here she comes. Oh.
It's me, I'm a proxy.
She's kind of not looking quite at him, though, is she?
Why do you think that might be?
Because because he's got a big hole in his head.
Why are the lights off, Jack?
Because they haven't paid the electricity bill.
Yeah. But he's just come from the accident, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So why is she there? Why is there another man at his wife's house?
Oh, this is strange. What the fuck is going on here?
Hey, nice house again.
It is a nice house. Look at that sofa.
Comfy sofa.
Look what's wrong
with her. Blind? She's blind.
Look. Listen. The crash.
And he died.
Carl was killed. Watch how this is done.
Okay. Mm. So who is he then? What's this?
Where do you see this bit?
I don't understand.
Isn't that fucking brilliant?
And then he wakes up.
Wow, good job.
And causes the crash.
She's quite attractive, that lady.
She's been in something else and it's now really warming me up.
I'll just ask George. Isn't that really effective scheme?
Yeah. And now the crash
stuck in like a time loop,
and it goes on.
How's that going to work, Craig?
That's how it works when you get into a horror time loop, mate. Mm. See, it's fucking glitter.
The film's jumped back. Is there a problem with it?
Amazing. One of the nice things.
That's a lovely shot.
Was people said that they were pretty cheap. You know, everything was. You know, they were not big budget program films and whatnot. But everything this person said was on screen, because they worked out of these like little Nissan huts with tiny wee heaters in them and whatnot on the Shepperton lot. So there was no question that they were trying to sort of, you know, screw everyone over and get the money out of them. It was actually, you know, everything's put on the screen.
Well, I was just going to mention, always discuss the changing business models of cinema production over the last 40 years.
Love it, Charlie.
Although we're heading into...
We're heading into the greatest one.
The greatest one of all. However, it just occurs to me, you look back at a film company and you think, well, pretty much all of their films, I mean the odd exception, were successful.
Mm. Are we talking about Amicus here specifically?
Amicus, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And how many would
that's
they...
the only film company.
And what would be their frequency of like knocking these films out?
Three or four a year.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
So the point I'm making is, if you transpose that to now...
We can't do three or four fucking podcasts a year.
A company that makes that number of films which are successful, everybody would necessarily have to be fucking billionaires.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. That's right. You're
because
right.
to maintain a success and a level of production requires that.
Yeah.
Whereas back then, you could make all of that and still go bust.
Yes.
Yeah. And not go bust, by the way, because you put all your money into fucking Revolution or Barry Munchausen.
No.
Just because that's the way it goes.
Yeah. It's a slight surprise that house is across the road from their house.
Do you not think, though, that it might be... Do you not think it might be like part of the street may have been bombed out or something?
Yeah, maybe.
And then they've had to build a couple of wee council houses on it.
Yeah, possibly.
This is all about...
But you're right, absolutely. Iffy. What, the kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you would put a stop to it.
Yeah.
There's no question of that, yeah. You wouldn't let them go there.
No.
That, of course, was famously in the pictures. His wife had just died when he made this.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, bless him.
And he was in a terrible state.
Had he been on Jim O'Fix and had the wee flower?
No, that was later.
That was a wee bit later.
He basically, had he not been a religious man, he would have killed himself, he said.
Really?
Yeah, he was devastated by her death.
Although he used to fuck about left, right and centre. Yeah. But he considered that they were, him and his wife Helen were one soul.
Yeah.
So he'd phone. And they continued to communicate.
I don't think they had a sort of sexual marriage. So he would phone and say, I've been very silly. And she'd say, oh, come home and that would be it.
But they were... They seemed just between them to be
that,
an
I like
utterly
that
devoted
room.
Couple.
I like that room.
That's a lovely room.
I never quite understand in this story why the father
goes along with it.
Yeah. Because he seems all right.
Yeah, he is and he isn't. He sort of goes along with it up to a point. It's almost like he looks a little bit furtive and ashamed later on. See the young guy that plays Robin, can't remember his name.
Yeah.
He went off to become a theatre director in Canada. He died maybe 10, 15 years ago. Apparently, he was an utter cunt.
Oh, really?
He was notedly a horrible. He was a sort He was like director of the sort of Ontario Festival or something. Okay. He was known for being an absolute shit.
He does look like a Poundland Ray Brooks.
He does a bit, yeah. He's very of that time, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's
very he looks a bit like Simon Williams as well.
Oh, lovely Simon Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a look of him about him as well.
I suppose so. Simon Williams a lot bigger.
So in the... As a proper horror fan...
He's a big guy, though.
Craig, you've expressed your preference for Amicus.
Yeah. But that's not to say I don't like Am.
No, I understand
I love them.
I get that. But is there Is there a consensus within the proper horror fan community between Hammer and Amicus?
No. Well, put it this way, Jack. Is there a consensus about anything within the Doctor Who community?
Yes, they fucking hate each other.
Well, there, yeah.
No one likes Chris
McCoy. In this community, I think, actually. They're a bit more welcoming and pleasant than you Doctor Who fucking freaks.
You wouldn't know. You're not a real Doctor Who fan.
But I know, but I've seen enough of them. You, and that's enough of them. Well, which of us has seen Doctor Who on stage next year as Macbeth?
Well, me. Yeah.
Yeah. Which of us has seen Doctor Who on stage as Doctor Who, Jack?
Of course, twice.
John Pertwee and Colin Baker.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I only saw the proper one, the John Pertwee.
Sylvester McCoy gave me a fake jobby when he was playing Salvador Dali.
Hello, Dali.
Yeah. Dali's dead. Dali's dead. Dali's dead.
Who has a photograph of himself being hugged by Sylvester McCoy?
I think Chris does,
isn't it? And me.
Yeah.
Not you.
It's so sad. It's not right.
I asked him about that whole thing and he said, oh, right, that whole thing about proper Doctor Who fans. That's fine as far as it goes, but Jack Kibble White is a fucking fanny.
Fair enough.
And they got it sent out.
They send a lot of coppers.
Oh, look, the fanny!
They do send a lot of coppers around to fuck up his dogs, don't they?
Yeah.
Also, he does sound very posh for a dustman.
I think the woolly hat's rather lost its place in popular culture.
It was quite popular. Also the fingerless gloves. You never see them anymore.
Yeah.
So here you go.
Yeah, I've noticed that's a bad error, bad miss.
Yeah.
In the wee bit with Bradley at the end of the last Doctor Who film, which when he appears, he's not wearing fingerless gloves.
True. Yeah.
Bad miss.
Good point. Chinny wag.
Fish and chips.
You are a cunt. Oh, Helen.
Pedo. Not him. I'm not saying he was a pedo, I meant the character.
No, it does. It kind of suggests, like, he's a dustman. He's got all these stray dogs that don't have licenses. He has kids and he makes toys to them. He communicates with his dead wife.
When you actually sit back and look at it all,
however,
it's not that nice.
However, that doesn't excuse that prick from the Interior fucking theatre club getting him sacked from his job.
No,
you could just have said, "Can it with the kiddie film?"
Were Amicus and Hammer big rivals, or not particularly, or did they complement
each
other?
Every film producer had rivals at the time.
Yeah, but you know, there was plenty of business for them. That was the thing. They were shoving out plenty of films.
Yeah. Yeah.
The same people worked for them both.
Well, that's because it didn't cost fucking 30 quid a head to get the pictures.
Two and six, mate.
Yeah.
And a poke of chips.
Hey.
Don't do that poke gesture, Craig. Oh, don't do that. Don't do the I'm smelling my finger after I've done the poke gesture.
I need to get the noise in.
Yeah.
Nobody drinks brandy in films these days.
No, that's right. Yeah. Stop it.
No, it's just T.P. McKenna died anyway.
No, that's going to be. I'm going to eventually have a study like that.
Mm. Are you going to, when people walk in, are you going to walk to the opposite corner of the room?
and finger a decanter.
Yeah.
It's really. Really, Mr. Diamond. Hanzimmy, you say. Really, Mr. Diamond.
Chips or potatoes?
Of course, if this was the South East.
Walk to the corner.
That house
I don't know what you mean.
That house there would maybe worth about £3 million.
Yeah.
Where's the toilet? I don't know what you mean.
I'm not really entirely sure what you're getting at.
See, he looks a bit distrusted and he's like, oh, what are you up to? What is that pole there for? It's like a Victorian pole dance.
You've got a fireplace, haven't you?
Do I have a fireplace?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
You enjoy your fireplace, don't you?
Yeah, I have a nice fireplace. Yeah, me too, yeah. But I've got a real fire as well.
And they do.
Yeah.
It's good. I was commending you on that.
Thanks. Have I ever had it going when you were around?
Yeah, you did, yeah. It's lovely.
Yeah, it's nice.
When we watched the League of Gentlemen Christmas special. Remember?
Did we do that in my
house? Yeah, we did. We all huddled around the fire because the house was fucking freezing.
Shut up. Chris has this thing that my house is freezing because it's not fucking hermetically sealed.
It's quite humid for me. It's not humid.
Do you think my house is cold?
Do I think your house is cold?
Do you? Is that a thing?
Really? I don't know what you mean.
I don't
Do you really think I've got a cold house?
Yeah, it's fucking Baltic.
That's because
it's a
you're
going
to take a note of that.
No, it's because it's quite
a write that down your drippy notebook.
It's got high ceilings.
Yeah. Why does it get left with window?
But you, you haven't opened a window in your house for years, Jack, you fuggy fog. Yeah.
Oh, what's in the sandwich?
No, I forgot one of the dogs came back, that's right.
What's in the sandwich?
From death. Sometimes the dogs come back.
Came back from the gate.
By Milton Subotsky.
What are on the sandwiches?
Yeah.
I don't
cucumbers
know.
In there, isn't it?
Oh, look at that, he's got a brown Barathea suit on.
Barathea, he's doing me one in Barathea for when the weather turns nice.
That's a lovely cup.
Yeah.
What's that?
Sorry, we just lunged into Porridge the movie there for a second.
Remember the mini Clubman Estate? Look at that.
This is a longer story, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the sort of... They get longer... There's a shorter one, then another long one at the end.
See, I like it. I like the short one at the end.
A mini Clubman Estate is a sort of slightly more upmarket version of a Morris the Traveller, isn't it?
I don't know. I think a Morris Traveller would be better.
That's a great jumper, isn't it?
Like? Chopper. Bit of wrong type of... Bit of the wrong kind of nostalgia there.
Yeah.
Oh, choppers.
Choppers everywhere. I want to... Get a lamp, mate. Big light off.
Oh, I know. I hate a big light on.
Oh,
do you? Why?
In my cold house.
Yeah,
in your cold house.
Which just makes it even colder. That's possible.
Just because I want you cunts.
Because I'm bulbed quite far away to put your hands on. Try and get some kind of warmth.
Put a jumper on. What's wrong with you people? I'm from Edinburgh. Your house is meant to be cold. That's a lovely diary he's got going.
It's beautiful. It's a 5-year diary.
It's a nice room,
it is lovely, yeah. The man who plays his dad's rather handsome. He was Pippa Markham's dad.
Alright.
Yeah. David Markham, I think his name was.
Why does he have to look up a 5-year diary to find out when it's Valentine's Day?
Because generally speaking, it's the 14th of February. And I fucking hate Valentine's Day.
But I know
Day.
When
I've
it is. Well, me,
to
now,
it.
Me,
yeah.
Me too, but I know when it is.
Yeah, exactly. So this is when it does turn genuinely horrible.
Yeah, he's justified in what he gets up to.
Do you know what happens, Jack?
No, I haven't seen this before.
Oh, he's never seen it. Never seen it, have you?
So have you not seen any of these, do you?
No.
Well, you're going to get to see.
Have you never seen Dead of Night?
No.
Oh, we'll have to watch that.
I don't watch films.
Well, you do, because you do commentaries for them with us. And I've been at the cinema with you. I'm going to the cinema with you on Tuesday.
I've got my eyes closed.
Yeah. We're going to see Blade Runner 10-9.
I've never seen Blade Runner.
You should probably watch it before you see the
I've seen the beginning of it. I find it very soporific.
Number has never seen Blade Runner. Yeah. You haven't seen it.
Well, I've seen like the beginning of it and I fall asleep.
Right, you know the one that's come that we're going to see next week is 2 hours and 3/4 hours long.
Oh, goodness sakes. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
They say
thing,
it changes
then.
People's lives. I think it's because it's the first time they've ever pissed themselves in public. So there's a lot of Valentine's.
It's great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It would be great if it was. And I hope they mean it's great as in it's a rollicking good film instead of just it's a load of pretentious
ponderous
wank.
Yeah,
I
think it's going to be pretentious wank.
I quite like pretentious wank though.
Yeah, it depends if it's good.
I'm a Tarkovsky fan.
But you were Pert Laureate for a while in the Young. That's going to happen
during
isn't
the war as well. Kind of, when
it's not as
you couldn't just get by as poet laureate in the war. You know, you had to come up with
pretentious
wank. Spitfire.
That's it.
You had to rhyme with Heinkel.
Shit dire.
Yeah.
That was before you and I lived at Sea Kings together. Remember when we shared that room?
Yeah.
Tell you what, we had the window open in that.
Right, woo! So he's had all these Valentine's cards that all say
it's high. It's very high.
Yeah.
They're all saying roses are red, violets are blue. You're a cunt.
Oh, who sent him all that?
Well, who do you think?
The fucking cable knit.
Why is he doing that?
The cable knit cunt.
Nice jumper. Why is he doing that?
Because they want him out of that house. That's the whole point.
He's a stinky old man. They don't like him.
They don't like him.
He's stinky.
And he has many leather-bound books.
Do you think he's read any of them?
And he just says, oh, come think of it, I haven't seen him for a few days.
Oh.
So they think he lives in a hovel, you see.
Mm.
So they thought, what we'll do is we'll send him lots of Valentine's cards and he'll think, oh, I better move. Is that the idea?
Exactly. And they've had him sacked.
Oh.
And all the parents thinking that he's a perv. Which...
And they've had his dogs taken off him and they're like, that. Oh, I thought the house would be minging.
Oh.
He's a wee bit like Daniel Craig, isn't he?
He's like whom?
Daniel Craig.
He's like a cross between Daniel Craig and Wilfred Bramble.
Yeah. Messy eater Daniel Craig.
Mm. Messy eater.
Well, look.
Oh, cult stuff.
Do you live after death? No.
Oh, look, the plant's dead.
Oh, not a good sign. That's they ripped that off for E.T.
Mm.
Let's just run with that. Shall we say that? Shall we just run with that in future?
We'll just say Steve ripped off
Steve Spielberg ripped off this for E.T. Because I've already insisted in the Anatomy of Cinema book. That he ripped off the Punch and Judy man for Jaws.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Which bit is that's a fact. How does that work?
In the Punch and Judy Man.
Is there a shark in that?
Yeah, yeah. Tony Hancock plays a shark. No, there's a bit where they're at the ice cream bar.
And just go, man.
Yeah, he's playing the cello. And he's eating a Knickerbocker, and there's a wee boy, because he buys a wee boy, and the wee boy copies him as he's doing it. And enjoys the little boy copies Chief Brody when they're sitting doing that.
Okay.
So it's a fact. It's a fact. Fact, Spielberg, you fucking crumb.
Is this going to get anti-Semitic?
No, but hopefully not litigious.
But that can mean homage.
So that's
Right, so that's him deed.
So is that actually the end of this story?
No.
Yeah.
Does it seem very likely that you hounded an old man to hang himself?
And that's the end of the story.
And then that would be it.
Now look.
I thought the twist in the tale was there's no twist in the tale.
No.
Okay.
The twist in the tale is that
he looks baffled by that book, doesn't he?
His cable knit jumper changes colour at will.
It's a nice cardi, isn't it? That's a nice big button cardi. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Is that the Valentine's?
So it's a year later.
Yeah.
This a year. He's taking his time. Isn't
a year has passed.
Okay.
And
that's a terrible pen he's writing with. You know what I'm like about pens? That'd be awfully slippy in your hand. That one. What? And too thin.
So what constitutes? What are the qualities of a good pen then?
The one I would use here, the Mitsubishi Jetstream is good.
Okay.
Because it's got a grip. No, it's got a nice grip, and it's got a very, very, look at that.
That's a
very smooth.
Nice action.
Very smooth.
Does it write upside down?
Yeah, it does.
And it allows you to do isometric sketches.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Looking at that.
So I like that.
Nicely drawn. That lozenge took you no time at all.
I've got a combination of that with a moleskin pad, and it's good.
I like a
moleskin.
It's nice. It's all good. It's all good.
I like a moleskin pad. No one think of the
moleskin. With beveled edges.
Oh, look.
Oh, here we go.
Right, so. You thought it was all over.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah,
it's another story now.
Mister.
It's another story now.
No,
stop
this is
that.
The best bit. This is when Arthur Grimsdyke weeks his Rwengi.
Jack.
Yeah, no.
Right, enough. Yeah, it's upsetting, you know. Look.
Let that dog out, Chris Diamond.
There we are, Arthur Grimsdyke.
1972?
So he's now feeling a wee bit, you know, maybe I was a bit
65. Should have not retired anyway in the 70s,
yeah.
Just going to stroke that wood.
He's just got lots of things to stand and hold. Yeah.
He's feeling bad now.
Whoa, those are big fuck off curtains, man.
Mm. That would keep your room a bit warmer, wouldn't it?
Get him.
Don't you think?
Fucking
those
man
curtains.
He's suggesting that I should have curtains in my front room.
Those curtains will keep you warm.
You've got nice blinds in your front room.
I do, yeah. Just because my front room doesn't have 8 billion fucking plastic objects in it. Like somebody's.
It's seriously lacking. And dead animals.
Yeah.
Oh,
here we go.
And sofas
here
you can't sit on.
You can sit on my sofa. What's wrong with my sofa?
Oh, here we are.
My sofa's quite comfortable.
Here it comes.
I know. Your sofa's comfortable.
So it's all coming out tonight.
I wouldn't like to live in a house though where you sit wearing a tie at night. I wear a tie literally when somebody dies.
Mm.
I don't even wear them to weddings anymore.
No.
Job interview.
Well, two things. One, someone's dead. Two, Craig feels to get a job again.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, the last time you failed to get a job, I was wearing my tie as well.
Aye, that's true.
Well, here it comes.
I actually said to each other, no, wear a tie. And you said, no, wear
a fucking tie, mate.
But the guy that got the job, he didn't have a tie on.
Yeah, or indeed any qualifications.
But it's all a very long time ago.
Yeah, no, it's a long time ago now, yeah.
In the hospital.
Yeah, in the hospital.
Look.
There have been several unexplained deaths, but nobody's willing to look into them.
No.
Oh, here he comes.
That is fucking phenomenal, the way he walks in.
Yeah.
Apparently he designed the makeup around the eyes.
Really?
Yeah, he liked this idea of them not being able to see
the
eyes.
The sort of gauze.
Wow. Yeah.
The makeup is amazing.
Now, this is also a reference, I think, to Canon Albrecht's scrapbook.
Yeah.
By M.R. James, where the hand comes
on
the table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
watch
that's
the
good. Wow, that's really good,
great,
isn't it?
Man. He's not pissing about now.
No, I remember this.
This is a fantastic payoff.
Yeah, and I remember seeing this late at night when I was about 8 or something when it was shown on telly.
Was it on ITV?
Yes, when they used to show them on a Friday night.
He's been painted.
They've caught that cardigan in mid-colour change.
It's a shame, man. It's a lovely cardigan. That would be nice in a rust colour, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Hold on, he's dead.
What's happened?
How's he died?
Hold on, you are dead.
Oh, okay.
Happy Valentine's Day.
You were mean and cruel. Right from the start, you really have. What's it say?
Now you really have no.
Now
no,
you really have
that,
no.
What could it be?
Dart. Fart. Part. Right from the start. Now you really have no part.
Hey, watch what happens though.
Cart. Heart. It's his heart.
Yay! Look, it's pumping away.
It's still pumping away. Oh
no!
Fucking hell!
I must smack my eyes.
Mary!
Oh, and you get that nice sort of wobbly shot as it steps back. Aye, now you think on.
We're not poppy as well, hypocritical bastard.
No, it's the rose. No, it's the rose that you cut at the beginning.
It's the rose of yesterday.
Oh, fuck.
The rose
you're actually doing a commentary on the film, well, you don't have your glasses on.
I've not got my glasses on. Literally anything could be happening.
The rose of yesterday.
Why don't you put
them on? Get those bins on.
My it's God,
not, it's not helping!
Here we go, Richard Green.
Richard Green, Richard Green, can
he
fucking
act? Robin Hood,
Richard Green,
he was, yeah.
Richard Green,
yeah.
He could not act.
Was he a pure actor?
No, well,
he's alright in this. Back.
He's alright. Just one of the accounts. However, there are a lot of epic
Decanters.
People in this.
Because that's...
The Pyromancer from Game of Thrones, Roy Dotrice.
That's right, yeah. Still going strong.
Yes, well, still going.
Relation
yeah.
to Michelle Dotrice?
Father.
Yeah, okay.
And therefore, father-in-law...
Of Iwobiwa.
Iwobiwa, yeah.
However,
he must be somewhat aged.
What was he in Game of Thrones again?
The Pyromancer. You know, that makes the dragon fire and hands him the thing at Blackwater Bay.
Fuck, yeah.
And then when it all blows up, they go.
He was also in Beauty and the Beast back in the 80s.
Oh, shall lest we forget.
That's a nice office, isn't
Vincent,
it?
Do what you're told.
That's when lawyers used to have offices like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
as opposed to fucking
open
glass.
Fucking, yeah, absolutely.
Horrors.
Anyway, it's building up to the best person in this section, the epic Barbara Murray.
Yeah,
okay. Fabulous actress.
What was she famous for, Barbara Murray?
Oh, she was in lots of films. She was the Michael Horden's wife in the film of Up Pompeii.
Gosh, yeah.
She was.
Come, Christopher.
What do you call him? Fuck, I can't remember anybody's name now. Tony Britton's ex in Robin's Nest.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she was a big feature of the. In fact, so famous was she that she was one of the.
He looks like Nick Cave.
Yeah. She was one of the people who Ernie Wise phones up. And says, would you like to be in one of her plays? And she says,
really?
Oh, you know, like, oh, sorry, you know, no, I can't be arsed, kind of thing.
Hmm?
Alongside the likes of Andre Preview and Lon Sullivan. And Dave Flora Robson, lovely fella.
So the setup here, Jackson.
Yeah.
Jackson the killer.
I'm looking forward to this, yeah.
As they are a very wealthy couple. He has been a buccaneer in business.
Yeah.
He's
he
going
made
bankrupt.
He made a buccaneer. He made a buck over there.
Yeah.
How's your buccaneer?
They're going bankrupt.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's basically saying,
if you hadn't tried, you'd have got nothing.
Yeah, but he's kind of saying, fair game. I've never played by the rules. I'm a bad bastard.
But he's been a cunt.
Yeah.
I've fucked him all over.
Yeah.
So what was the last Amicus film?
Alright, so that was
sorry, we're just finished with the plot.
I want
now,
to know what the last Amicus. I thought you were just setting
we've
it up.
Done all that.
I want to know what the last Amicus film was.
I'll look up the dark side.
Right, so this is basically this is the monkey's paw.
Is it? Is that the monkey's poster?
Okay. Oh, I was going to ask him if he could work it out.
Mm. Oh, sorry.
That's all right, mate.
So the statue is like you've got three wishes, but you can't quite read the end of it. Mm-hmm. Can you quite read the wee bit the end? The wee bit the end when it says, this will fuck you up.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. Does anybody know a joke about three wishes that maybe was recorded and then lost for the ages?
Oh.
Craig Williams?
What's that?
I'm just saying, does anybody know a joke about a man who gets wishes that was maybe recorded and then lost for the ages?
Is that the one?
Come on, let's do it.
Right.
Come on, because it's still a funny joke.
It's a good joke.
It's a good joke. Here we go.
A guy's walking down the street. And he looks
I'm just going to press
street,
stop.
And at the other side of the street, there's a man with a big orange for a head.
Yeah.
And he's got like a wee mouth and eyes and things, but his head's a big orange. So he goes across the road and says, sorry, can I ask you a question? He goes, you want to know about the big orange for a head, don't you? He says, well, what happened? He says, well, you know, I was up in the attic, found a lamp, gave it a rub, usual trick, genie jumps out. Three wishes. He goes, oh, right, okay, what do you ask for then? He says, well, first of all, I wanted to be financially secure. Never been financially secure, never had two pennies set up together. don't want to be greedy, but I just always want to have money. And he said, how's it worked out? He said, fantastic.
That's good.
You know, I've got loads of money in my account. I take money out. It's not hard to take out. It's replenished the next day. Yeah. It's all
I don't kick the arse out of it, but it's fine.
Exactly. I said, well, that's nice. Yeah. I'm really happy for
reasonable lifestyle.
It's all good.
What about, what's the second thing you asked for?
Don't buy shit like this. Yeah.
He said, the second thing I asked for was that I've always been very unlucky in love. Never a man for the ladies. Never ever got anywhere, he said. So I am a nice Jensen Interceptor.
Roger, the same house as the Omen.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
He said, so I asked for, he said, don't be greedy. No, I'm not really creepy. But just if I like a woman, she likes me. He said, I asked for that to happen. He said, how's it working out? Great. He said, you know, get
like
women left, right, and centre.
Yeah,
nice. Fantastic.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. He said, but I still don't understand. He says, so what was the third thing he asked for? He said, I asked if I could have a big orange for eating.
That's a good joke.
The Jensen Interceptor.
Can I tell you that my brother Roger had a Jensen Interceptor?
Did he?
Really?
Did he have one on each foot?
Did it have to be the giant comedy one they had in the shop window? Like giant boxes of fags or chocolates.
But doesn't Roger have a house like that?
Buy a Jensen Interceptor that's like 40 foot long.
Going round and round.
Well, it's a nice car, Jensen Interceptor.
Yeah. It's quite a big car, though, look at it.
They tried to bring Jensen back a few years ago, but nobody gave a fuck.
I know of one other film what which a character has film? A Jensen Interceptor. It's in Monty Python's The Meaning of Life. There's one part outside when they all die from eating the salmon mousse.
I know.
So it is.
Yeah, and it goes to heaven in it.
Well, Craig's sorting out.
I think the last film was The People That Time Forgot, or one of those ones.
Oh, okay. I know two films.
Are we sort of suggested? It's kind of suggested that the motorbike rider here is like fucking death or something. Aren't you?
Yeah.
I know two
just
films.
Some poor schmuck
which feature.
No, wait till you see it. I don't think it's suggested. Can I suggest to you that this is more than a suggestion?
No, but I just thought it was a comic, like somebody who had a mad Hell's Angel kind of
look.
Yes.
No, I know. Uh-huh. No, I'm telling Jack.
It's good. But talking of cars, I can think of at least.
It's good you've not fucking seen
it. I'm watching it. I can think of two films.
You're not watching it.
Which feature?
Watch it.
Tom Petty songs in cars.
Yeah, I know. There you go.
Yeah, but I just thought it was a sort of Hell's Angel style helmet or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Chris, somebody being a cunt, you know.
Chris,
look how rad I am.
Chris will have looked at Facebook today.
Can you think of any?
Yeah, I did. I looked it up. I wasn't even interested when I read it on Facebook.
Oh well.
I don't really know Tom Petty songs very well.
See, Craig
don't
and
come
I,
around here no more.
Craig and I had a little chat.
Is that one of them? Was that one of the songs?
This will go viral.
One is we the Silence sure of the Lambs when the That's senator's awesome. Daughter is driving along. She's singing American Girl. Uh-huh. Oh,
All right, okay. I know that.
Herbie Rides Again.
Now, that's a great film, and that's a good scene, and it's a terrific movie. The unspeakable one
Herbie Rides Again
is Jerry Maguire. And he's driving along, having made his big deal, singing Free Falling. Which is a bit of an offence to the song.
I hate everything about that film.
It's a genuinely fucking horrible film, and it sums
really
up everything that's wrong with America.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't go off and like save the world from cancer.
No.
He just makes more money.
He just makes somebody richer and makes himself rich in the process.
And that's supposed to be good. And also, he treats her like shit, and then at the end he turns up and she says, "You had me at hello." So
that's
she's a complete
right.
fucking...
Absolutely.
She's a complete walkover.
And the wee kid's a dick.
He never got any older, that kid, for years. He was in that little vampire film. There's nothing right about them.
But the...
There's something kind of a... about that boy.
But the thing about Jerry Maguire and things like that is people like to think, oh, it's all about American Dream, people getting rich. Actually, they're the antithesis of what classic American films were. With, like, little guys just getting by, It's not what American films are meant to be about.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I think they're pretty disgusting, actually.
Genuinely, I actually thought less of a guy who I was quite pally with because it was his favourite film.
Well, Jerry Maguire.
How could it be anybody's favourite film? Yeah. I mean, I can understand, I suppose, you know, the one-legged and the daft thinking that it was a good film. Yeah. But who would actually pick it as their favourite film?
Right,
wow.
That's fucking weird. Gooby Gooding Jr. Maybe.
Does this man have hair like a lady?
No, God, no. Oh. Grant Brady's a man of impeccable fucking...
Is he?
Tastes a great
guy.
In all matters?
Detrice, look at that. Yeah.
In all matters?
Grant Brady's one of the...
See, Roy...
A prince amongst men. I've recently got in touch with him again.
How is Grant?
Grant's good.
Has his hair...
Shorter. Back of the film.
Sorry.
Roy Detrice has worked out
that
it's all down to the statue.
Okay. Monkey's Paw style.
Yeah.
So, of course, she's
made a fucking fool of it. Oh,
you don't get
no.
lipstick that colour very often now,
lady,
do you?
Wasn't she, Barbara Murray?
Oh, yeah.
I've got a bit of a horn on tonight, haven't I? I'm talking about the ladies all the time.
She was, you've already tipped over the table.
Yeah,
it's quite an orangey lipstick, isn't it?
Why not?
Why not? Why can't a woman have an orangey lipstick?
Christ, stop this racism.
It's terrible, isn't it?
That's not the same room from the last program. Last
film. No.
Oh, no.
The trees had a fine head of hair, didn't they?
Right,
so this is what's great about this. She makes the... And then these geezers turn up.
These are creepy, aren't they? Who are these guys?
The second one to walk in, there's clearly like a joiner. They've just got off the set. Yes.
Fucking the whisper men here.
What's going on there?
What do you think's going on?
I think they're dead.
Mm, you think they're dead?
I think everyone's dead.
Damn it, he's got it.
Yeah, see, she's wished him back to life. Yeah. But just before the motorbike crash happened.
She wanted him, yeah.
Oh no! He had a heart attack before the crash.
You are kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
This is a bit when Roy just goes, well, I've got a couple of appointments at the office. None of this is really my problem.
Oh, there you go. That's the best acting he does, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's very convincing there. Then he loses it a bit.
Again, it's beautifully lit, isn't it?
Look yeah, at it's very well lit.
But here comes the twist.
Here we go. Looking forward to this.
Great love of the wee key light on the eyes there.
Mm.
Could you not do a wee twist in a tale story in which twist is there's no twist? That'd be a good story, wouldn't it?
That's lost.
Yeah. It's lost. quite
which, right. Hang on, which one of us sat and watched all of Lost?
Yeah, I watched all of Lost.
You fud.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
literally five episodes into series two.
Isn't that terrible?
Funny. I turned to the missus and said, the missus, do you want to keep watching this? She said, no, it's rubbish. Let's watch Country Enthusiasm instead.
I was like,
no, well, that's a good
gonna watch Lost. Get a bit of Jerry Maguire.
Because I'm free!
Because I'm free, Marlin! I want a prop by life on.
She wants him to die now, you see.
She really should think through how she articulates her wishes.
He's full of embalming
fluid. He's full of fucking sawdust.
She wished him alive again forever.
So he's now going to be in pain forever.
Yeah. For eternity.
But this is when it all goes really fucking apeshit now. She's like, thank God I've got this pole to hang off.
Yeah.
Why didn't you say I'd wish he's all right?
This is before she got a part in Tenko. What's this?
What? Oh, she's going to kill him.
Oh, yeah!
Not many people know she's Burke Walk.
Not now, Kato.
Hello, Harry. Wait to see
this
show.
This was the bit that was cut out for AJ.
Wow. Oh, it's all like all his innards.
Sausages. Oh, that is the amicus hand.
Yeah.
It turns up in most of the films. It started off in Dr. Terror's House of Horrors.
Yeah.
In which it is Christopher Lee's hand. Of course, Vault of Horror has the Tom Baker one with the paintings.
Oh, I love Vault of Horror.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic story.
A bit of revenge.
All of the Vault of Horror ones are about revenge, really, aren't they? One way or the other?
I guess so.
Glynis Johns gets a revenge on TT.
Yeah.
I see. Would you call her... Geraldine McEwan gets her...
No, Anna Massey.
Anna Massey, gets her... Yeah. Yeah,
pretty much. Mm. No, here's
the last one. Oh, I forgot about this. This is fucking
great. This is a great one.
This one goes on for a while, though.
Yeah.
Nice hat.
There's also another great Triumph car turning up.
Mm.
But he actually plays a real knockdown bastard in this. He's absolutely fantastic.
He's great at it as well.
Yes. Younger than all of us. Look at him.
And it actually it even looks colder than my house, this place.
It's not quite cold, yeah.
But,
that dog's dead. That dog's dead.
Tyson!
That dog's dead.
No, ironically, the dog's still alive.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's a nice car.
That's quite a new one as well. That's a nice big Triumph.
Why do you need a sign saying it's home for the blind? They're not going to. It's not
a Majesty's home for the blind.
Somebody's still going to deliver the spread.
A Majesty's home for the blind. You can pop in and feel them. They really don't mind. A Majesty's home for the blind. That was the old Jack and Victor sketches in the very start of Chewing the Fat. Again, a nice office on the go here.
Mm-hmm.
That should have almost been Graham Stark there. Mm. I think like Ledgers.
What's the dog called again? Prince or something?
Tyson.
Tyson.
Fuckface. Fuckface, down!
Come on, fuckface. Come on, fuckface. Fuckface.
What is the dog called again? Is it Major or something? I don't know.
Is that in the book?
I don't know. That was Jimmy the dog in Millport.
Major the organization.
When I showed this to a friend of mine about a year ago, mm-hmm. who'd never seen it before, mm-hmm. and I'd been entertained by it, like the Johnny one particularly. Mm-hmm. But by the time we got to the end of this, it was a fucking state.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Was it Aldo?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Because it's really horrible.
Good head of hair there.
They do look like a bunch of fannies, though, don't they?
Yeah, I do, yeah. He's got a good fucking plate of food there as well.
I know, but I think you're supposed to see that it's, you know, they get a good fucking place there at the start. Yeah. He's not any pictures on the wall, but you know.
No, yeah. That's true.
That's cool. Lots of graffiti. Yeah. This guy's a dick.
This guy's great at place to cook.
Oh yeah, he used to crop up in a lot of things.
Yeah. No one's touched a Brexit, don't know what it is. So he's a former army man, he's been put in charge of this place, and he takes his duties very seriously.
There's the old Patrick McGee there.
Fabulous, yeah.
Taking his staring acting very, very seriously. He spent 6 months before they made this film staring. Yeah, it transpired it looked no different than they usually do.
He was also great in the Nigel Neill's The Wolf one in Beasts.
Mm.
Oh.
Come on, fuckface.
Oh no, it's called Sean.
Sean?
No, is it not called Shane or Sean
Shane,
or something?
Shane, I think Shane's right.
Shane.
Shana.
Yeah.
Yes. Well done, well done.
All right.
Dolian!
Back of the net.
Boom!
Who's the real horror fan, sorry?
Yeah, he just likes dogs.
Oh, a nice wintry as well. Yeah, we're polystyrene. Yeah. Oh, all crouched around the radio in their formal pyjamas.
They're not even able to watch the fucking Box of Delights because they're all blind.
Do you like a dressing gown?
It's no Christmas there. I love a dressing gown.
Yeah, I like a dressing gown.
Do you know what kind of dressing gown I've got now? I've got a big, muckle, deep red one.
Nice.
And it's like a 4X or something because it's fucking huge.
You need that because of his fucking freezing cold house.
Yeah, see, I like a dressing gown.
I'm going to smack you.
I like a dressing gown, but I find it very difficult to get one from the Beatty fellow like myself.
Cotton traders, mate. It's a fleecy sort of one.
Yeah.
And they do.
Is there a place for you to put your pen?
Well, there's a pocket.
Yeah.
I remember being quite taken with the dressing gowns in. What's that film about? You had to betray your country because. You had to betray his country. Because he was a bit of a poof at the school. What's it called again?
A Beautiful Man.
Rupert Everett and Kenneth Branagh are in it. And
oh, like Another Peter Country Spence. And all that shit.
No, Colin Firth, sorry. Is that Another Country?
Another Country, yeah.
Remember they're all sort of kidding about wearing dressing gowns looking quite.
Oh, I like that. They were in all these films. Maurice and all those other fucking films.
They're great dressing gown films, those. Now look at his office now.
Catch a shot of
a few fire on the go.
It's a beautiful shot.
But you know what I do miss?
That's a blind man's pubes that he's just thrown in that fire to burn. They burn very well, the blind's pubes.
You know though,
that was an ironic use of the word poofs, by the way.
Blind pube. Isn't that a character?
Blind pube is a character in Island.
No,
I like how he's just getting a book out. I'm going to.
I'm going to read this.
I'm doing a PhD on Austin.
Austin Chamberlain.
Austin Teachers.
You know what I like though about Patrick McGee's dressing gown that had on there, actually, more than the common dressing gown now, that it's got like a proper cord.
Yes.
Because a lot of pyjamas you get now just have a
cord.
Belt, that's what
I've got. Yeah,
you don't want that. You need a cord.
They don't stay.
The belt with the sort of loose end that you see people sticking your gob before wear. Yeah.
No, but you need piping.
A lot of them, if they're made of the same material as the dressing gown,
that's not right.
They don't tie properly.
Yeah.
But I would get onto the old cotton traders, mate. They do a dressing gown.
With piping?
That's a dressing gown.
No, but it's a good size, though.
Okay.
The one I've got is muckle, seriously. Yeah. Fit any fellow.
Cool.
And also, I like to pretend when I put it on, if I kick about the house in the morning by myself,
I like to pretend I'm one of the Imperial Guard guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I used to do that when I was a kid with my dressing gown. Or just put it over my shoulders like Darth Vader's
cloak. Oh, nice, yeah. Want to play with my dog? He's fucking great in this.
You think he's sitting there and go, oh, will you do? What would be great is if actually he did that, did that speech. And then it cut back and he just wasn't there. just in the background. He would just appear throwing the ball for the dog.
Look, I'm still listening.
Oh, hang on a second.
Oh, what now, Jack?
It's his battery now. It's alright, we got this one. I'll just
Is the other one working okay? It's not doing the lighting up thing.
I think it's fine. It only does the lighting up thing. Yeah, it's fine.
If you go, wah! Yeah.
No, but it's not when you go, wah! Ah! But this is great listening for 4K. Poor wee fucking, what's his name, Cobbler's Boss on the tube one morning.
Don't say that.
He's nice wee glasses he's got on there.
Yeah. That's what you get in the hospital canteen.
I was going to say that they're very good at the, they're good at rendering institutional food, but actually it's probably just the canteen food.
Shepperton. Terry Wogan would get 10 minutes out of jokes about the BBC canteen out of this.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
Except he wouldn't. The BBC
custard. Yeah.
The hell?
There we go. What, Gavna?
Shrimp.
What's the use of doing that? Because now there's a gap in it.
People don't mind. People can deal with that.
What an arrogant thing to say about our listeners. Chris and I love our listeners. We wouldn't give them anything other than the very best.
Nothing but the best.
The work that goes into it.
Every single one of them. What people don't realise.
Tell you what, he's not touched that salad. Look at the size of his salad.
That's
what people
a big
don't
salad,
realise
isn't it?
Is the sheer weight of preparation and research that we
the
do.
Script.
These
things. That bit was scripted.
It's a big spider hanging off that script.
Yeah, isn't it?
Watch out, octopus!
See the wee guy to the right. He's a bit laugh looking, isn't he?
Wow. It's fucking Jack Morton.
What are they angry about, these men?
There's no
food shite.
Alright.
Food shite's freezing.
The food's crap, there's not enough of it.
I think they're going to get
it. Craig,
I suspect they're going to get their revenge. I think there'll be something ironic around. The very concept of sight.
There you go.
So his eyeballs out, maybe? The dog's going to eat his eyeballs.
Eat a sprout. Look at that. Now it's fucking proper snow. It's 2010 snow now. He's got piping.
Well, we never have a proper winter.
Of course we will, yeah. We had three in a row that were great, and we've had four that are honestly great. We'll come back, don't we?
I hope so.
I love a proper winter. If anything else, you just fall in and say, I can't get to work.
Do you remember that time?
Even though my new car would probably get me into work when I get it, but I'm just going to say, nah, sorry, I can't get into work.
Do you remember that time in the hospital the last time when there was a really bad one and they said, if you can't get into work, well, never mind, it's okay, we'll just take it off your holidays? That'll be fucking right.
That'll be shining bright, your
I don't fucking think so.
No. Fucking idiots. There's
Why
not enough snoring and farting going on either, because they're all blind.
Yeah.
But then you could save money on the lighting, couldn't
that's
you?
That's what I mean. Why about the lights on?
Now he's not. Now he's now that dressing gown.
He doesn't have a proper. Tassel.
No, that's more for effect than for warmth.
Yeah, no, you that's see, that's Patrick McGee's one. That's the sort of one I would like.
Yes, it's nice, that one. It's lovely.
That's
you know
a
what's really
dressing
weird
gown. That's from the Fleming Range.
Yeah. That's from the Fleming Range. That's a silk Eichmann.
That dog's going to die.
It's a nice looking dog though, eh?
It's a lovely dog. It's dead now.
Yeah, it looks like
Stop
a dog
saying
that.
It
looks
like
a dog that we know that died.
Oh, see all that food there? It's gone rotten now.
It looks like a dog that we knew.
They had
yeah.
He was a great dog.
He's had it.
He's got a nice pair of jammies though. So I get them off.
He's got stock on as well.
He died with his boots on. Yeah, look, he's got the full cord as well.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. See, that's
he's
that's
not even got a loop to put it through though.
Yeah, it's
that's tricky.
Yeah, one. That's a
tricky thing.
He has a nice.
Can't have everything, can you?
No,
they can't get it just right.
No.
Damn them! Damn you, dressing gown makers!
You know what I had when I was a kid? Dressing gown with a hood. What was that all about?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you used to get
that. Yeah,
I bet Christopher Robin kind of ones.
He's still got one like that.
That's weird.
My son loves his dressing gown.
Does he?
Oh, he's mad for the dressing gown. Yeah.
Well, it's a sensible thing.
Quite right.
But I never understood the hood bit. That was weird.
Don't
Of an evening, like at this time of year, see when I get home.
Yeah.
Or as you know, as you've come before I came here, I like a t-shirt and I like a pair of tracky bottoms of an evening.
Yeah.
If on a cold night, which it always is at my house apparently,
yes, right.
I would put a dressing gown on.
Yeah.
Because one of the things
I liked about that, just straight without changing into pyjamas or anything.
Well, I'd have like the sort of tracky bottoms and
t-shirts. Oh, I see, right, house trousers.
Yeah, exactly. Softies, as I call them.
Yeah, have you got slippers?
Yeah. I love slippers, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and also,
I love a pair of slippers.
Actually, I'm thinking about buying a new pair of slippers.
Are you?
New slippers?
Yeah.
Wow.
I quite like the ones without a back.
That's a move.
Why?
No, you see, I never used to like ones without a back. Uh-huh. And then I got given ones that somebody nicked from a hotel. Mm-hmm. And they're actually really, really comfy.
Yeah.
And now I find ones that are fit, like these ones just now, which are fine.
Uh-huh.
But they're really only fine if you want to just go to the shops in, like, quickly, without putting your shoes on. But actually, I find them a bit constricting.
Yeah, I can understand that. I might go for a leather type.
Well, that's what these are.
Leather.
Leather
slipper.
Amazon.
Oh, I'm not happy
about that. Very nice.
Yeah, look. And they've got a wee furry inside, look.
So one of the... Very nice.
See, 40 quid.
Put it back on, please. So one of the things I like about the dressing gown from another country is that you have to put a wee book in your pocket.
Those men's having sex inside them.
A book in your pocket.
A book in your pocket.
Book of short stories. In
guide
the
to bum sex in Edwardian England.
I don't need that guide. I wrote that book. Here we go. So, what they've done is...
Back in his poet laureate days.
They have...
That was durable.
Listen.
Yep.
They have pulled quite a lot of bacon together.
Yeah. They're going to get a dog with the bacon. So
that would make a lovely sandwich. Chris, would you have any condiment on it?
Mustard.
Oh, that was quite left field. I wasn't expecting that.
We have to tell the people this. Chris doesn't like ketchup. Chris is a
thing
about ketchup.
You're kind of allergic to it.
Yeah, it makes him upset.
Does it give you
a
pick?
Actually, I've got another friend, the estimable Amy, who can't have ketchup and mayonnaise on the same plate. She regards it as contamination.
Can she have? She can have one of those.
Yeah.
And either one.
Yeah.
And is there a durational period that has
actually
to last?
Have to stop, or he's going to get ill.
Is there a durational period that has to last before she can then go to the other?
No, she just doesn't like it. She's not having it. She would say to you, please don't do that. He's actually pretty good because if him and I are at the hospital together, he doesn't mind me having a bit of lunch.
No.
He just blanks it out.
I try to arrange things on the table so I don't see it.
Yeah.
But I can deal with it being there as long as, you know.
Do you have a problem with anything that freaks you out completely?
Oh.
Apart from your wife.
Apart from my wife.
Because you know what mine is?
What's yours?
Belly buttons.
Yeah, I don't know.
Belly buttons.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't even talk about them.
Oh right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm quite squeamish about things like that, about operations and stuff.
You know what I don't like.
Someone talked about an operation of on a belly button recently, and I freaked out.
You know what?
Oh, that was me.
You know what I don't like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did it as well, by the way. It was a mistake.
Genocide? You don't like genocide?
No.
You like genocide?
I can take it now.
You like genocide?
I can take it or leave it.
Okay.
No, you know what I don't like? It's a heartbeat. I don't like feeling like if you're lying in bed and you can feel your
that's
heartbeat.
Not nice. Yeah.
Oh,
how do you feel about a cigarette case?
Oh,
he just opened the fags and put them in his cigarette case.
I like a cigarette case.
Now I would buy you one, except that I desperately want you not to smoke.
Well, I mean, that's perfectly sensible.
Just lock the case.
But
just have it there, just in case anyone tries to shoot you.
Well, a big alabaster, a big onyx cigarette box.
How do you feel about a coat wallet? Because I've got a coat wallet and I keep thinking about
moving over to it.
You know, like a long wallet, this quite long one like that.
Oh, I had one of them years ago. Yeah. No, the problem with them is...
They fall out of your pocket.
It's difficult to get, like... I've got an ordinary fold around wallet,
which is fine.
But see if you have like a
long
like 50s film wallet.
Yeah.
First of all, you don't get giant blue fivers to put in them anymore, so the money all hides in the corner. And it's really hard to get cards and things
that
they fall out too easily.
Yeah.
I just remember.
Right, here you go.
That's going
to
take a moment.
We are here to fuck
so
you up.
See, they used the bacon to lure the dog away.
Yeah, I got that. Now going to poke his eyes out.
They're very lucky it wasn't a Jewish
dog.
You
think so?
I have just remembered.
When you poke his eyes
something
out.
That makes
Moshy!
Me.
Moshy! Come back.
I remembered something that makes me feel queasy.
Morris the dog.
Jamie Oliver handling food.
Oh, really? Yeah, I can get that.
It's disgusting.
With his big fucking sausage fingers.
Get the salad in.
How did you feel about
too big for his mouth.
How did you feel about Jennifer Patterson fingering patties and stuff?
Oh, I didn't mind all that.
She never looked like she was entirely clean.
For some reason, it's quite specifically the way Jamie, particularly salad.
Yeah.
You know when he's mixing this? It's disgusting.
I used to get quite wound up by the way that, what's that twat with the spiky hair?
Gary Rhodes.
He used to do it in a really subtle.
Anymore, is he?
Yeah. Really sort of
no, you know. Oh, no. The worst thing this was. He was. See, like this means nothing on radio. But if you say there's a dish there and you say, I'm going to put some salt in, and anybody else in the world would go like that. Salt.
Some salt. He does this,
and he would go like that.
Yeah, what a dick. Yeah, that's right. Jamie Oliver's just been like that. He's really, like kind of. Really. It's planfy.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Jamie Oliver is dreadful, really,
he's
isn't
quite
he?
Quite planful.
Well, you know, he's a good cook, though. I mean, the stuff he makes is nice, but he's just dreadful.
Can I just revise that statement? Just
so can I just say they've got him in the cellar, and his dog's in the next cell.
Okay. Dog's going to.
And
eat
they can hear each other. The cooking and the recipes, yes, they are great. And the Good Housekeeping Institute are very good at them.
Yeah, I was going to say be very careful because I'm sure he's a very litigious man.
Fuck him. Yeah, no, and there's other things about him that annoy me intensely. He was on Parkinson once.
Well, that's bad enough.
I mean, that's a fucking
you know
shit sandwich.
Jamie Oliver! Nobody actually ate food, so you came along, did you, Jamie?
Jamie
Cook.
Did you ever hear about Chiffin Darlington? He used to play for Bison in the 1930s.
Dunstanworth?
Yeah. Never had any black people playing then.
So, Jamie Oliver on Parkinson.
Yes,
yes.
Gran Torino.
No, it was...
Call back.
No, there was this. So he's on the program, talking shit, Oliver and Parkinson, obviously. Mm-hmm. And there was a bit where it cuts to one of his programs, and in the program he starts describing the like his family, his wife, and
what?
His
plumpy. He's plumpy.
His wife. That's it. I don't think you know what that means, by the way. His wife and his kids, who are all got silly names.
Oh,
like
I know.
Poppy,
yeah,
and
yeah,
things
yeah.
like
that. That works out
I'm
really
sure
well.
The kids are
that
nice,
worked out really well for the Geldofs.
Yeah, no, yeah. Absolutely. Well, that, although it did give rise to that great joke about the fire at Paula Yates's house, and the police raided it and took away crack cocaine and cannabis resin, but the other kids were staying. no, anyway,
God rest the soul.
So he's getting and he's talking about this thing, and he gets all upset because he's saying, "Oh, there's threats against my family," and he starts grieving,
right?
And then it cuts back to him in the studio, and he's sort of laughing, watching them. And says, "Oh, what a poof!"
Oh no,
Jamie Oliver says that.
Yeah. Wow. Oh yeah, really?
And did Michael say, "Yeah, crap"?
No, they just had a laugh.
That's terrible.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, fucking dick. Yeah.
And then do they
because to be fair, I did use the word ironically earlier.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Who's that man?
But I've given you a benediction to
use
that.
Yeah.
That's Louis Mansey von Smallhausen.
Can you do an impression?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Who is he again? Because I recognise him.
Louis Mansey.
Yeah, but just saying his name doesn't tell me what I recognise.
Von Smallhausen.
That's again just saying something.
From
what's
a low.
Ah, right. Okay, got you. That's what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
So you see what they're doing here? They're building something.
They're building something.
Can you think what it is?
Can you think what it is, Jack?
I guarantee you can't.
Is
don't even bother.
I think it's a crystal maze.
Hey, the crystal maze of Richard Ayoade is really good.
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah, no, it's
can I say, I have such massive issues with the end game in the crystal maze. Because essentially it is pick up litter, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've been to these futuristic worlds.
Yeah.
Now pick up a wee bit of litter.
No, just pick up. I'm certain I'm out of time to pick up a lot of
You got to pick up the right litter.
Yeah.
So it's not even just pick up litter. It's not even that.
Yeah.
You've got to pick up the correct litter.
Yeah, but it's not a good programme.
The end game's not good.
I like to.
I think it's a classic example of it's better to journey than to arrive. In
yeah.
The crystal maze.
Chris, what's this? You ready?
That would be Michael Barnes in an interview in Crispy's Jones.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Griffey's.
Although, one of the problems with not liking Jamie Oliver is that a lot of web. Boards, message boards seem to descend sort of inexorably into just hating Jamie Oliver.
Yeah.
That's true.
As indeed did us the family.
I don't like the way that he handles salads.
I don't like
but
the
that's
way that he exploits
reasonable.
His family.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my wife had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
Like, have some dignity. Don't tell the world that.
Do you know
it's
the other thing that I don't like?
It's not as if you're doing it for like a reason that means that it's going to help people in any way. You're just telling folk it to get in the paper.
But you know the other thing I don't like?
Genocide?
Yeah. No, I've told you. I can take that or leave it.
Okay.
Is
paedophilia?
No, it's to do with Jamie Oliver, which is not paedophilia.
Systemic
lawyers.
Corruption within society.
No, again, take it or leave it.
That's all right.
All that Jamie's school dinners thing.
Yeah.
Mind your own fucking business.
Yeah, I mean,
you're talking about people probably on the main
who really don't have the option of what people are eating at lunchtime. But just fuck off and mind your own business.
That's my view about all people telling you what to eat or drink or anything. Just fuck off.
Just fuck off.
And don't come at me and say, but the health service can afford whatever you want. Just fuck off. That's what we pay it for.
We pay in for it. It's not discretionary. Just fuck off.
It's not a fucking Christmas club.
No, exactly.
Craig, for the record,
yeah.
Can we have a little recording of the click of that pen? Because that is a lovely pen. Let's see if we can... Oh, that's good work, isn't it? That's something good action.
Honestly, I really recommend these because I bought a box of 12 recently. They're so smooth.
It's a nice action.
All right, sorry, we're building up now. Okay. We're building up to a climax now.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's building a contraption.
They're building a contraption.
Which we know is not the end game with Crystal Maze. So we know that. We know it's not that. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's sort of industrial zone.
I think it's going to be
Richard O'Brien's
eye gouger. Is it an eye gouger
machine? Richard O'Brien's looking quite good, actually.
Yeah, no.
It's going to be an eye gouging machine.
Also, I remember once Jamie Oliver's Christmas, which comes on every December on a loop, and I have a sort of tendency to watch all Christmas cooking programs. I just do.
Yeah.
There's a bit where there's one that's got his daughter singing the theme tune, and they go, "Oh, the big brown bird.
Fuck off.
Oh my word!" And it's really obnoxious. It's stuck in my head. And here we go. Watch what they've done to him.
So let's have a look.
Just imagine.
Genuinely
that,
uneasy.
Imagine that's Jamie.
Okay, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Oh, he realises there's something up.
Yeah, but...
There's definitely something going
look.
On. He's in a thing.
Yeah.
Gosh. They've put up... Yeah, he can't get out of that.
Chicken wire. You don't see that in films these days, either.
No, I like chicken wire.
Chicken wire or Chicken George. I don't see him either. Chicken George? He's in Ritz. My Uncle George used to get... Uncle Doddy, as I always called him, used to get called Chicken George by his other niece who's in Germany.
That's funny. I was just talking about roots yesterday.
Roots, yeah.
I was a couple of days ago when I was getting my hair cut.
I've meant to say
it's nice. Nice. Yeah,
and I was talking to the young gentleman who was cutting my hair.
Uh-huh. About roots.
You say your neighbour's boys and Whippen.
No, we were talking about...
He's good roots.
We were talking about TV series and because he was quite young.
Yeah.
He said that the only one that he remembered from the old days was Roots. Fair enough.
With Levar Burton was in it, wasn't he?
Oh, Christ.
Geordie LaForge. Has anybody watched the new Star Trek TV series?
Or Discovery. I've heard that the first couple of episodes are a bit slow, but the third episode apparently is amazing.
Okay.
And then it builds from there.
Right, look.
Look!
He's got a cut hand.
Why? But why do you think?
What have they done?
Because they've razored up. They put razor blades on everything.
That's fucking nasty,
isn't
it?
It's giving me that tingly loin thing.
Hang on a minute. Well, I know you do.
Hang on. So he's got to get through there, is he?
Yeah, but...
There's a couple of... There's a couple of
fuck man.
Why would you not just pull them out?
Just watch.
Okay. I just pull them out.
Can you just watch?
Does he now have to pick up litter in that environment? Is that what's gonna
watch?
Be? That Crystal Maze thing.
The
walls are gonna close in. They're gonna close in. The walls are gonna close in. That's what's gonna happen, isn't it?
Plus, what's the point about all the people in it?
They're all blind. They're gonna take his eyes out.
Oh,
he's got some paint on him.
Even worse if it was paper.
Can you imagine that paper cut?
It's really sore, paper cuts, aren't they?
Oh, paper cuts are nightmare.
That's when you get to the end and they squirt Jeff Lehman.
Yeah, look,
they show his eye.
They're going to take his eye out.
Oh, it makes me so fucking anxious.
Why don't you just pull them out?
You might get covered in
bodies. How can you
pull
them out, you fudge?
You might get covered in bodies.
You're stuck in the wood. Oh, no.
Remember those ones that used to throw?
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a wee snag again.
The other good thing they've done is they beautifully lit it a la Freddie Francis. Look at that. Lovely overhead lights.
This is just the start, by the way, Jack.
Oh, aye. You ain't seen nothing yet. You've seen shit that's going to turn you white. As Winston Zeddemore said.
I've seen all sorts of things. Attack craft on fire off the shoulder of Orion. Buses no running at the weekend. Shop shutting on Wednesday afternoon.
Oh, he's shutting the door. Dog's coming in.
He's not been fed for days.
Dog's not been fed.
And now what
they're
going to do?
And what's he going to do? And
now they. Oh, turn the lights off.
So he's got to go
because you see they're blind, Craig. That's what happens.
Yeah. Oh man, blind. That's really tired me.
Guess what that story's called?
It's called Razor Blind.
Blind
man's buff.
Justice.
They all get there. All right. Okay.
Justice.
I thought I'm going to take the clothes off.
Justice. Do you remember that?
Call the police.
On the day to day, you could, oh, the executioner could have three voices, one of which was Martin Sheen. Justice. Right, look.
Oh, all right. Right. Oh, we're getting out of here.
He said, he's basically saying maybe they has yet to happen, or maybe they already have.
Or have they?
They said something about the scarlet,
the hat. What colour was it, damn it?
If it was red, just say so. Ah, you see.
See, you've
it's
all done it.
It's all happened,
isn't it?
It's all happened.
It's a good 10 years before Dragon Slayer.
Yeah.
12 years.
Right down to hell, son. Drag to hell. Get the fuck down there right now. He's still got his hands in his pockets. He's like, I'm not that bothered. I'm off to Canada.
Hell or Canada, wabs.
So they've all forgotten what's happened, what's brought them there.
Now they realise that this
now
is.
Now they realise that they've done
they're
it.
They're going
and
to
that's
their
them.
Fate.
Oh, right, and they're just going to go for it.
Damn your job.
Although, actually, it's actually not that bad a deal for Ian
Green.
Hendry and Richard Green.
Yeah.
That's actually mightily better than where they were. But then we get the last wee sign off from Sir Rich.
Yeah.
It'll
be homily.
Yeah. He's looking at me.
No,
it's not me.
Rich.
I think it's you, Craig.
Now watch this bit.
Do you know what
stop.
If you, unless you've noticed, it's actually a skull.
Yeah. No,
I'll stop footing
no,
myself.
Hadn't.
No,
you hadn't. That's like that big face in Prometheus that Martin couldn't see.
What big face?
What it's like that big raging golly walking Temple of Doom.
You said that.
Remember?
There you go.
That's raging.
Guido, not guide.
Jeffrey Belden didn't have a very big part in that.
Matthew Body.
No, it's like, look, mate, an hour's work, ching ching, on. I've got another three films to make the day, mate. Let's go on with this.
Fuck off, Cat Weasel.
Yeah.
He says in that documentary that I watched it when he turned up in the house that dripped blood with John Pertwee, he said the whole audience went, Doctor Who and Cat Weasel! Grimsdyke. Robin Phillips, that was his name.
Why did they not have Jeffrey Belden as the first Doctor in the Five Doctors?
Oh, listen, I have posited
that.
About
90, oh, but
no,
he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
Who's the actor?
That's just Richard Hundle.
You don't like him in it, do you?
He's
not very
good.
Serviceable.
Yeah,
he's
not
very good.
Was he in anything else?
But Belden would have been good.
He was in Blake
Hundle.
7.
Yeah.
That's John Nathan Turner spotted him in Blake 7.
Did he play Make Peace?
What?
No, sorry, it was in Dempsey and Mapley. She was in.
Oh, yeah, Glynis Barber. Yeah, she was,
yeah.
She played Su Lin, didn't she?
She did.
Yeah.
But really.
The Chinese one.
But really, it should have been Jeffrey Belden.
Yeah.
Who I reckon must have just been doing Panto.
Middlesex. That's dead now.
I mean, I genuinely think he probably was doing Panto.
Yeah.
He probably managed to get into his old person's home and couldn't be bothered going out. It was carrots that day. They love the carrot.
Nothing wrong with carrots.
So there
so
we go.
That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that.
You kind of go wrong with an Amicus.
I don't think
which is the best of the
Jimmy
stories.
Would enjoy it
which is yeah, which is the best of the stories.
I think the most enjoyable.
Yes, for you.
The,
for you.
The, well, there's two.
Just
things
for you.
Here.
Yeah.
The most enjoyable is the Joni Collins one at the start.
Uh huh.
Oh.
The scariest, freakiest one is the one at the end, which really fucking freaks me out.
Uh-huh.
My favourite's the Peter Cushing one.
Oh, right, okay.
And why?
I enjoy the
why would that
one,
be,
but, you know,
Craig? Why would you
first
say
one's
that?
Christmas.
Why would you say
Peter
that?
And he comes back and fucks that guy up.
Yeah, he really does.
We need to talk
yeah.
about The Beast Must Die. You ever seen The Beast Must Die? I have it here, actually. We could put it on after just to have a wee look at it. Has a
I have
werewolf,
seen the Beast
it has a werewolf break.
Mm.
What?
There's five people are in a house, and this guy here, who's the actor's Cleven, can't remember his name.
Little.
Calvin Lockhart, even Cleveland Little was the guy. My God, that's a bit racist. Calvin Lockhart. He's a big game hunter. He's a sort of English aristocrat, black exploitation big game hunter, and he gets all these badgers to his house.
Yes. Stop playing the organ.
He gets all these badgers to the house to find out which one's the werewolf.
Right, okay.
It's really good. Peter Cushing's in it.
It's a good
Gambon.
Part of the game called Werewolf.
And there's a werewolf break at the end. It says, right, now you've got all the clues. You have to decide who it is. It's good.
Yeah. And then you have to pick up litter.
He also, Calvin Lockhart, is the guy in Predator 2 that goes, Voodoo Man. Remember the one?
Wow.
Yeah, he does do that.
Well, should we
stop the race?
Should we say goodbye?
Yeah,
happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, yeah,
yes, happy Halloween.
Yeah,
we'll promise. We'll do more.
Yeah,
bye.
Bye.